Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
The Killer Bees!
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Joel, I'm Jeremy. It is a Thursday edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN at 92.5. Lot going on, City of Houston. First day without baseball in the City of Houston.
A lot, you say?
Yeah, there's a lot. Tyrod Taylor's the starting quarterback again for the Houston Texans. Nick Caserio spoke yesterday. Rockets play tonight.
Did he really, though?
Free agency and baseball starts soon. There's tons going on in the City of Houston.
Did Nick Caserio really speak? Because if...
It depends on how you look at it.
If a tree falls in the middle of the forest, and even if you hear it, the noises aren't really...
Right.
Earth-shattering. Did it really fall?
I feel like he gets a bad rap on that. I'm going to stick up for Nick Caserio.
He can't even stand still, Jeremy. You know how you don't trust someone that's fidgety? If you watched the entire 40-some minute press conference,
I did.
You could have put him to music and put him on the dancing competition shows. He was shucking and jiving and bopping around all over.
He went off screen once to just to talk about something that he was talking about. It was interesting. Like he used Dell computers in this press conference. He talked about PayPal buying Pinterest in this press conference. If you ask him the right question, he will give you a pretty good answer. Like, so I think he gets a bad rap there. There are some questions he just flat out refuses to answer, and any of those were involving Deshaun Watson. He spoke for about 5-7 minutes in his just opening statement before he even took any questions. So, I mean, he'll talk if you ask him a question that he's willing to talk about. He's not willing to talk about Deshaun Watson. That was very clear. He gave some stuff that we'll get to that were... I think pertinent information when it looks at the Houston Texans. But one thing that worries me here is that, look, Jack Easterby, a good talker, right? Like, he can sell you something. He sold Cal McNair something. The fact that, you know, how much sway he has, power he has, how much influence he had in bringing in the general manager. He can talk a good game. What he does in terms of actions, that's obviously the biggest question when it comes to Jack Easterby and the biggest concern when it comes to Jack Easterby. I'm really worried that Nick Caserio is the same type of dude. Because whenever Nick Caserio speaks, he sounds intelligent, right? Reading books on businesses and wants to use business in sports, and that's how you build a program. He's an impressive dude. He is. Whenever he speaks, he sounds smart. But then you look at the actions, much like Easterby. When Easterby speaks, he sounds smart. When Caserio speaks, he sounds smart. When Easterby acts, a few of the worst general manager jobs and moves in the history of the league... When Caserio acts, and albeit small moves so far, he's lost more than he's won. So the talk is great. The actions from both guys, not great. Maybe I'm late to the game, but I'm worried that Nick Caserio's kind of like Jack Easterby. They talk a great game. They're kind of used car salesmen a bit, but then the actions leave much to be desired.
I mean, and look, they're both cut from the same cloth in terms of whatever the hell Easterby learned about football. But for the long amount of time that Caserio spent with Bill Belichick, who is in certain circles, in certain different aspects of football, regarded as one of the greatest, if not the greatest of all time. I don't know that he is as a general manager. I don't know that he is in terms of a personnel guy, because he's had such great talent on the roster already. He's just had to fortify it with bits and pieces here and there, as opposed to what Caserio's been charged with doing in terms of trying to resurrect the entire franchise. But I will say that you can understand why there's a lot of hope and a longer leash with a guy like Caserio. Easterby should just, no one has any bill of goods that they believe is the right bill of goods for Jack Easterby on the football side. And that's just a Cal McNair move that we're going to have to deal with and endure until somehow, some way, I don't even know how someone gets him out of there, unless Caserio's no longer here and a new general manager says, I don't want this guy looking over my shoulder 24/7. But it's a bit nerve-wracking in the fact that every move we've seen so far, and again, I made the comparison yesterday, it's like what we've done with David Culley. We want this guy to succeed. We need this guy to succeed, right? But we've also, because of what they've been given to deal with in terms of the cupboard being bare and all the assets they don't have, you want to be a little bit more forgiving. But with every move they make, your patience wears a little more thin, and you start wondering if they didn't get the wrong guy.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people think that they did. I'm willing to give Caserio a chance, too. Like, I'm not drawing any conclusions here. I think that Nick Caserio can turn this around with even Jack Easterby in the building, as long as Jack Easterby isn't involved in the 53, if he's not involved in the football decision. So I'm still willing to give this a chance. But seeing some red flags along the way that start to kind of pique my interest a little bit. A few things from the World Series, some aftermath there. Mattress Mac, lost. Depends on how you read the headline. Headline saying he lost out on $35 million thanks to the Braves. I think it was Berman that was talking to him, and he was like, look, it was a hedge. I still made a lot of money selling the mattresses that I promised to give away for free if the Astros won the World Series. So he lost a lot of money in Vegas by playing the futures bets, but he made a lot of money selling mattresses, so really a non-story there. Now, the thing that's interesting, though, is that the home run ball by Jorge Soler.
That's a great story.
It's a really good story. A couple of guys went running down. They ran out, whatever, to get the baseball. This baseball is worth quite a bit that these dudes are about to sell.
You would believe someone in Atlanta is probably worth willing to pay more than anybody else. But the amazing thing is those apartments across the street from the stadium and behind the Crawford boxes, they said it's like Mardi Gras on game nights. I've never witnessed it personally, but they said everybody's out on their balconies, whether the roof is closed or open. Huh. People are having parties. And the guys, Nate Griffin, a friend of the show that, you know, used to do shows here on Fox 26, interviewed the guys from the apartment. They showed the view, and they literally said they looked down and saw the baseball sitting there for like 8 minutes. And finally, one of them just decided, I'm going to go down and get this thing. Now they got a case for it. They've already said they've gotten offers up to $1 million for it.
I'm sold.
I'm getting rid of it as soon as I possibly can, and I'm taking all the cash. Because we look at some of the Barry Bonds baseballs that are actually diminishing in value as time goes by. Strike while the iron's hot, and the iron's red hot right now, especially in Atlanta. I'd sell that bad boy as soon as I possibly could.
I would, too. So how'd you spend your first evening without baseball? Like, we had off days, but you had the off day to look forward to next games, whether it was the next game of the World Series. Game 7 was supposed to be yesterday. We didn't have anything to do with that.
I tried to stomach NBA basketball.
Yeah.
I saw one team that I could actually sit and watch and think that it was the best basketball on the planet being played by the right way. I saw more bad basketball in the NBA last night, no matter what game I watched. And thankfully for Rockets fans, the Rockets weren't playing, so I don't have to talk about them. But I tried to watch the Nets play the Hawks, two playoff teams. James Harden looks awful. They look completely out of sorts. The Hawks, when they run, they're fun, but they're not executing anything. The only team that I saw, and I'm pushing them up in terms of where I think the West is going, Golden State Warriors look like they're on a different planet with execution already, and they still are going to get Klay Thompson back, and they still are going to work some other guys into their rotation. They look like they know what they're doing. They've added a piece that you really love in Jordan Poole. He's a guy that just absolutely from college on has been spectacular.
He was mediocre in college.
He had a couple of big shots that I'm sure you remember. But I just think that Golden State is the only team so far that I've witnessed that is worth watching play a full NBA basketball game. Right now, that product is not good to me.
No, I went and got sushi. I had a family date night, to be honest with you. Sushi was good. And then I got home and watched the session that I left from Sunday. Didn't have a chance to watch Curb, though. I'm a little sad.
I did catch up on my million dollar listing. Yeah,
I'm surprised you don't have any appointment television. I'm a little disappointed in you. We gotta make you watch something. Like, you need to something in
you. I should, but I'm a sports guy. What can I say?
Yeah, you're watching bad basketball that you're complaining about the next day.
I did try. So all I could do is try. I can't say that I have to stick it. I told you, I may not watch. I may not watch all year a full basketball game start to finish in the NBA the way I saw basketball last night.
But that's the way it is now in the regular season. Like, no one really starts executing and playing basketball the right way in the NBA until, like, at the earliest, the second half of the season. Like, it may be when the year turns.
That's why a lot of people think that basketball doesn't start in the NBA until Christmas Day.
Yeah, I mean, that's when they start playing. I mean, that's when they start. Maybe not even then. So, I mean, I don't know. I was hearing Palillo talk about it earlier about how the World Series ratings outdrawing all the NBA ratings. A lot of folks thought the basketball surpassed baseball.
That's from a baseball guy, but you know he was giddy to report that.
I mean, the numbers.
He's been adamant
numbers
forever about what the cash cow is that is Major League Baseball and how the popularity of baseball is not as doomsday as people would like to make it out to be.
Now the ratings weren't great in the World Series, second lowest ratings all time, but they still beat the NBA. All that matters.
Well, but at the same time, too, I mean, look, and we know that it means something. It's a totally look. If that was Astros Dodgers, I guarantee you the ratings would be on a different planet.
No, you need big markets. Like if it was Astros Dodgers, it would have been huge. Braves fans, it's a decent sized market. Plus, it wasn't a good series for the Houston Astros, but the numbers weren't great for the World Series, although it was better than the NBA. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter, and I'm at Jeremy Branham. All right, when we come back, Texans announced their starting quarterback for this week. It's Tyrod Taylor. What does that mean? Texans keep Deshaun Watson at the deadline, and now Tony Busby had some words to say after that. We'll dive into all of that next. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at Cars for Kids. You can go to carsforkids.org or you can call them 713-225-4226 and tell them that you've got something you want to get rid of. It could be a car, an SUV, a truck, a boat, a motorcycle, a trailer. It doesn't matter if it's running or not, you have the title or not. Those are all details they'll take care of. But if you want to donate it, you can make a difference in kids' lives in the Houston area trying to get a second chance at an education, and all the money stays local. The bigger thing for you is it does you a massive favor because it doesn't cost you anything to get the eyesore off your property, and you also basically essentially benefit because it's a tax write-off. You get the tow charge for free. They take care of it. It's not on you. And then you mention ESPN 97.5, you get a $50 Visa gift card, and that's where the process really begins. Once they get that vehicle off your property, they use it and turn it into resources so that kids can get things that are distractions for them out of the way so they can focus on the books. It could be bus fare, book money, a good warm meal in the morning so that they can focus. Those are the kind of things that your donations can do in this program. It's fantastic, and it's all because of you. Again, carsforkids.org, 713-225-4226. As always, right off the car, not the kid.
ESPN 97.5. Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right. Tyrod Taylor's the starting quarterback again for the Houston Texans. David Culley speaking to the local media a little bit earlier today, announcing that the future is now, and Tyrod Taylor is our now. So he'll start for Miami. I'm still not changing my survivor pick. I'm still riding Miami, even though Dell's telling me not to. Couple of one-win teams. I can't believe I'm going with a 1-7. It's my survivor pick. But hey,
it's still the Texans. You're going to be
exactly
fine.
That's the way I'm looking at it. Like, I'm not playing the Dolphins here.
Dell's
I'm
just
playing
doing that
against
because
the
Dell
Texans.
Knows that the embarrassment, no matter how bad he already has admitted his Dolphins are, the ultimate embarrassment would be if somehow, someway.
They lost to the Jags. Losing to the Texans isn't any more embarrassing because the Jags lost to the Texans.
Did they lose to the Jags? They lost to them in London, right?
Yeah, I watched that game.
Yeah, they lost to them in London they gave up like 250-yard field goals in the last couple of minutes.
They're not losing at Hard Rock Stadium to the Houston Texans.
Yeah, that fortress.
Yeah, that home field advantage. Best in the NFL.
That
you don't go into Miami and win.
I don't know if you now David Culley on the fourth quarter.
The Colts did. The Colts went in there and won. The Falcons did. And just so you know, Tyrod Taylor, in his career against the Dolphins, 10 touchdowns, no picks. So he's had plenty of success.
No, you don't go into Hard Rock Stadium and come out with a victory if you have more than or less than 2 wins on the season. Just not happening. I'm rolling the dice. I'm going with Miami. Gives me a reason to have intrigued to watch that game on Sunday.
Roll away
too.
Your money, too.
I think going back to your previous segment, we're only like 3 months away from the Super Bowl ending and all baseball people tweeting, it's baseball season. So just comfort yourself with that, because apparently baseball season starts the minute the Super Bowl ends.
Yeah.
You mean Charlie's not doing a countdown to spring training yet?
Well, that might, I won't know about it, but it might start on Monday.
Oh, there you go. I mean, I could see him legitimately going, you know, it's only 43 days until pitchers and catchers, because he'll do it.
I might do it. I can't wait till pitchers and catchers report. That's one of the best things about going six games deep into the World Series if you're the Astros. Pitchers and catchers report very soon. But look, it's the NFL, man. Like, the NFL is halfway through the year. Like, we have plenty to talk about. Like, you shouldn't, if this is the city of like, oh, we have nothing to look forward to in baseball season, if the NFL's going on,
we've got
college basketball
starts
on Tuesday.
We've got a train wreck in our backyard on a daily basis. We got plenty to talk about. There's no doubt about it.
Well, that's why people like to watch train wrecks.
I know.
One of the biggest train wrecks is this whole Deshaun Watson situation, demanding a trade, then all of a sudden these sexual assault accusations come out, 22 different women. They're all being represented by Tony Busby. Tony Busby did a little Q&A with Mark Berman a couple of days ago. I think it was yesterday, maybe 2 days ago. But Tony Busby had a lot to say and very pertinent stuff to say regarding Deshaun Watson.
Well, first off, let's be clear that whether he's traded or not really has nothing to do with me or the plaintiffs that I represent. You know, I guess, you know, now that the heat is off, I probably won't be getting calls from the other side wanting to settle the case. Obviously, there was some effort, pretty tough effort, to try to settle the case, and it didn't happen.
You had discussed with us earlier that there was a talk about trying maybe to lower the number of cases that were settled. Can you go through that and what happened there?
Well, you know, at first it was we need to get 22 cases settled. Then it was, well, maybe we can do it with 20 cases settled. And then finally, I think there was some discussion about maybe even less than that. But the bottom line is that based on the terms that were submitted to us, we weren't going to get 22 settlements, period.
And what about the non-disclosure agreements that they were trying to get as well? Whoever that was, I think we talked earlier, whether it was Dolphins or Deshaun's side.
Yeah, I don't know who insisted on that. Obviously, I had no contact directly with the Dolphins. I was talking to lawyers who were acting as mediators, and also with Mr. Harden. But there was, in what we were submitted to us, there were non-disclosure agreements, and many of the women pushed back on those. We modified those substantially, and then there were still some women who said, I'm never going to sign that. So that was a deal breaker.
So how do you look at things going forward from your point of view?
From my point of view, you know, I'm looking forward to taking Mr. Watson's testimony in February. I think the court has given us 44 hours to do that. I think we're going to learn a lot from that. And otherwise, we're going to prepare the cases for trial, because ultimately, you know, people can commentate and give their opinion, but the ultimate opinion that matters is 12 people that sit on a jury in Harris County.
So a lot there from Tony Busby. The first thing that jumped out to me is the fact that they were trying to settle these cases. They started with all of the cases being in the conversation, and they dropped it down to about 20, and then Busby saying maybe more, maybe less than that. The timing on this, I mean, it to me, it's not a coincidence, right? You had the November 2nd trade deadline. Then you had Deshaun Watson trying to settle these cases. You start off with all 22. You drop down to 20, then maybe less than that. Like, I'm not wrong thinking that that was not a coincidence, right?
Absolutely not. No, I mean, it was ideally, as always is the case normally when lawyers are involved and or professional athletes, it's what about me? It's all about me. And for me, my best case scenario in trying to get the hell out of Dodge as quick as possible, where most of the damage was done, both what he did before and then after these allegations surfaced, would be to get to the next destination on the map so that I can put as much of this behind me as possible. As part of that, if he can get as many of these cases behind him as possible, then he's looking to try and find that light at the end of the tunnel, turn into a beautiful, bright, sunny horizon as quickly as he could. He knew the only way to do that until the offseason would be to do it before Tuesday. They didn't get it done.
It is interesting, too, that a lot of the women flat out refused to sign the NDA.
I believe that.
Deal breakers.
I don't know that I believe that. I believe that that meant more to me in terms of the finances weren't what they were expecting.
Yeah, that's probably a fair point. The dollar price was maybe not high enough, although I don't want to speak to that. I mean, it's a little insensitive to speak to that because I don't know the situation. I don't
True.
Know the limits.
I don't either, but I'm just saying I would think that part of most of the deals in which there's a settlement involves an NDA. And so
there's no way if I'm Deshaun Watson, and I don't want to put myself in his shoes, but if I'm settling with these women, it's going to include an NDA.
No question.
And perhaps that's the women, too, going right back at him and saying, look, that's what you're giving us is not nearly enough. And perhaps there's some of these women, too. Again, we don't know the stories that just don't even care about the money. They want their day in court. That's something that's likely as well. And then the other side,
Jeremy,
of that.
Because this is the one thing that really chaps my ass on all of this from that standpoint is, and it starts with Tony Busby. Everybody there always says, well, there's a price on everything, okay? Busby came into all this saying it's not about the money. He said most of the cases that he represented, it was about the day in court. But suddenly, we're talking about settlements that have been discussed, and then all of a sudden it ended. He said he would take $100 or wouldn't even take $100 for a lot of these cases. He wasn't going to settle. That was right from the get-go. Doesn't sound like they were discussing $100.
No. I mean, a lot of that's lawyer speak, too, though. And representing the women is his job. And he was asked this question by Berman. The other fascinating thing about that, too, is if this actually hits trial. And Busby mentioning to Berman that there's testimony expected in February, and the judge has granted him 44 hours to kind of examine Deshaun Watson, do the litigation part of that, too. So very fascinating things there from Tony Busby. Meanwhile, on the football side of things, Caserio yesterday speaking to the media about the Deshaun Watson trade and admitted that they were talking about Deshaun Watson, but that nothing came to fruition.
I would say with Deshaun, including other players, I would say throughout the league, there was various levels of discussions specific to him and then specific to some other players as well. In the end, there was no trade that came to fruition. I don't really have any comment about some of the logistics and the mechanics and about what happened, what hasn't happened, what did happen. I would say that's where we are here for today. I actually talked to Deshaun here this morning. He and I had a conversation, so we're moving forward. And we'll evaluate that situation, as we move along here.
What do you think that conversation was like?
How was your day today?
It's just getting started.
Did you have coffee?
I did, yeah.
Like to announce on the Killer Bees, Jeremy and I have had a conversation today. we have been in contact with one another. That's exactly what I think it was.
Yeah.
Because I know he's not practicing with them. I know that when they're on the practice field under the bubble, he's on the NRG field and vice versa. They're giving him an opportunity to still work out in the building and to try and hone his craft with his people, working out, throwing balls, lifting weights, doing what he's got to do. But he has been completely isolated from team activities.
You know what bothered me? And look, whatever. Like, they're going to eventually trade him in the offseason. It's been our belief from the entire time. And, like, Caserio's kind of getting criticized, too, by the national media for not handling this well. To me, he's handled it perfectly. Like, trading him at the deadline, you would have gotten less, in my opinion, than what you will get in the offseason. So I don't think that that's fair to Caserio that he's being criticized as much as he is nationally. Something that I didn't like about that press conference yesterday, how do you not get one Brandon Cooks question? And like, I understand that the headline story is Deshaun Watson, but it doesn't take very long to realize he's going to say nothing about Deshaun Watson. The fact that he didn't get asked about Brandon Cooks irritates me. Like, how do you not get asked why Brandon Cooks is still on this team, your best asset that you could potentially trade ahead of the deadline?
And the thing is, Jeremy, whether he was asked or not, there's no guarantee he was going to answer it, because based on what he was asked, he completely just Kim Davis asked him a question directly about just Deshaun, essentially being in the building, working out, stuff like that, and he just completely skirted that.
And she pushed back, and he still skirted it.
Yeah, and so if you saw that and knew that, then any question about the shortcomings of his behavior leading into the trade deadline and his inability to trade at least the few players that he had that had value with other teams, I would think that he would say, the exact same. He would do the same thing. Like, you know what? We're not going to talk about guys that weren't traded because we believe that everybody in our locker room has value. And we believe that the guys that we have are part of the culture that we want to build around going forward. So you're going to get a whole bunch of coach speak. And he's not going to talk about anything. And again, it goes back to what I said all along. When I watch this guy in these press conferences, why should I ever trust anything that he says?
Car salesman.
Yeah, he completely is the used car salesman, and he's bobbing and weaving, and he's constantly moving, and his eyes are shifting like Adam Gaze, and you're like, yeah, I'm not buying anything you're selling, bro.
That's the Cal MO, though. That's what Cal likes. Cal liked Easterby doing that to him. He likes Nick Caserio doing that to him. On the other side of things, the Dolphins were the team reportedly interested the most in Deshaun Watson. Only team he could have went to ahead of the deadline was Miami. Their GM, Chris Greer, on why he was kicking the tires on Deshaun Watson.
Why do you think it was a plausible path to pursue a guy who has 22 pending, a civil lawsuits and an ongoing criminal investigation?
Again, we're doing background work and investigating everything. So just because you do that doesn't mean we're going to do a deal. So again, we're investigating good players. And again, every situation is unique. This was a unique situation. We did our due diligence and decided not to pursue a trade.
That buzz you could hear is the buzz of Hard Rock Stadium and the home crowd it brings even in the midweek.
You sure it wasn't a swarm of killer bees?
Could have been. All the way in Miami.
Yeah, travel they're well. Everywhere.
We go road games, baby.
We span the globe.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776, 5554, saying if Deshaun does have to FaceTime, wouldn't that hurt his value coming back? Yes, it would. Everybody that I've talked to, though, whether it's attorneys, whether it's people that work in law enforcement, I hear back overwhelmingly that the chances of Deshaun Watson facing jail time are very, very low.
Yeah, it's not about the jail time, though. It's simply about how the NFL, I think, at this point, because, again, if it was about the jail time, we'd be looking at legal issues. And instead, we're talking about civil suits. With the civil suits, he's going to be dinged financially in one regard, but more so than anything else, the NFL is going to have more ammo in their back pocket to suspend him for longer. And that's why it would be a detriment to any trade possibility.
Right, but I don't think it lessens the value because this is a decade type trade, right? It's a franchise quarterback that you're looking to take your franchise into like 2030. So I don't think that like the league suspending him 4 to 6 games would be a huge impact to his
But I think every case he loses, it goes up from 4 to 6 games. I think it keeps going up. I think
you're talking about civil cases.
Yeah,
well, what if he settles them?
But again, if he doesn't settle them, if there's a couple that I said all it takes is one. But if one, you have a documented record of him and his shortcomings and what he's done, the league's going to use that and absolutely punish him further than 4 to 6 games.
And it depends on the verdict of a civil case, too.
Sure.
Well, civil isn't criminal. Still, you have a verdict in a civil case, and we'll see what kind of legal battles that Deshaun Watson has to face. But it looks like things will quiet down on the Deshaun Watson front, at least until the offseason, until it doesn't. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Aaron Rodgers. Meyer? Are we sure?
Yeah.
That's next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Get know when the whistle goes.
Real fun. Get sports. ESPN 97.5. Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Are you vaccinated and what's your stance on vaccinations?
Yeah, I've been immunized.
That was Aaron Rodgers late August.
Pants on fire.
He's been immunized. People are calling him a liar. I don't believe that. I don't believe he's a liar.
Wait a minute, time out.
I believe he's a liar. He didn't say he was vaccinated. He was immunized. He was obviously, he had a little smirk on his face. He had a little side eye when he said it. It was obvious he was being a smart aleck.
Shouldn't I be defending this guy? You're defending.
He was being a smart aleck. I'm just calling it like it is. I'm not defending anybody. I'm just telling you how I saw it. He had a little, he had a grin, a little side eye, saying immunized. Who says immunized?
Run that again. Doesn't he start out by saying yeah before he called it immunized?
Yeah, he says yeah, but I mean, like, I say yeah, but somebody else is.
He's answering a question.
Are you vaccinated and what's your stance on vaccinations?
Yeah, I've been immunized.
I mean, I was like, kind of like whatever, though.
Well,
he didn't mean
you
like,
look at
yes.
it your way, I'm going to look at it my way. He's a liar.
Yeah.
And you know what? And it's not only about him. It's the same way when we went. And again, I'm going to preface all this by saying I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. I don't care what side you are in terms of vaccinations and masks and otherwise. What I do care about is in this situation, he lied. He put others at risk. Okay?
I disagree that he lied.
Okay, that's fine. You made that clear.
Weren't you the one yesterday that said that he was trying to look for holistic treatment and he asked the NFL?
I read what the tweet said.
So everybody knew that.
Otherwise, no, because the league knew it. And here's the league. The league is washing their hands of it. As quickly as they can, they put out a statement that said, in regards to these and how individual players are handled, it is not up to us. It is up to the team. Because the team let them get away with it. They were already dealing with a diva with kid gloves. And now all of a sudden, this is something that they're gonna that they knew they were gonna have to deal with. And if they didn't side with him on this one, it was gonna be hellacious in terms of what it meant for the long term success of the team for this season and going forward in trying to salvage a relationship with Aaron Rodgers. So they just let him go with it. They went with the fact that the league hadn't come back completely and said, because the league and the Players Association were both looking at these holistic things, going, we're evaluating whether it really did up your immune system and did the things you're saying it to do. In the meantime, he should have been wearing a mask. He should have been doing the things that they said all unvaccinated players were supposed to do. The team wasn't enforcing him to do that. At one point, they said, you either do Zoom chats in your post-game press conferences or you do your post-game press conference with a mask on to protect the media in the room. He refused to do either one and still went and did his press conferences with no mask. That's on him, and it's not just on him. It's the after effects that what he does when he handles him as it affects others in the room and around him.
Now, a lot of what you said isn't the fact that, you know, talking about the immunized quote. Like, a lot of the points that you bring up are good points, but the fact of him saying, yeah, I'm immunized, like, he didn't say that he was vaccinated. And the people that were in the know, the Green Bay Packers, the NFL, they knew that Aaron Rodgers petitioned for some alternate treatment to count as an immunization in terms of the COVID virus going on. So people that were in the know knew that Aaron Rodgers was not vaccinated. The Packers knew that. The NFL knew that. Did the media know that? No. Who cares? So what? So I don't think that Aaron Rodgers was lying when he said those comments. All the points that you make, I think those are good points. If you have that opinion, you have that opinion. But in terms of like calling him a liar and being basically put his feet over the fire that he lied by saying, yeah, I'm immunized, like with a little grin and a little side eye, I don't think so. But here's his head coach, Matt LaFleur, got a bunch of questions, as you might imagine, about the Aaron Rodgers testing positive for COVID. Here's what LaFleur had to say.
There's been a couple of players who've only spoken to us via Zoom over the course of the season. Obviously, Aaron has talked to us in person. I've never seen him with a mask. Has he skirted the rules at all during this?
Yeah, again, you guys are trying to, in a roundabout way, trying to get me to answer whether or not a guy is vaccinated or unvaccinated. And I'm not going there.
So that was LaFleur. He's just tired of
answering questions.
He later
said, look,
there.
You know what? Those are all questions for Aaron, and you should get Aaron to respond to all these different things. And he's right. It's a compromised position. It's an uncomfortable position that he's in. But as the head coach, because Aaron can't talk right now, because now, because of his positive test for it, he has to quarantine, and he has to stay away from everybody. So now everybody else is left to clean up his mess. Whether he lied or not, he was as shady gets in the way he handled it with the press conferences. And he also was as careless can be in terms of what he didn't do following protocol, regardless of what you treat, how you want to treat yourself in your own condition and what you want to do or not do with your own body. What he did was jeopardize his teammates. You know, even still to the standpoint of, if there's guys in the locker room that have an issue with the fact that this team that only has one loss that's going into a big, big game against the Chiefs, maybe without their star quarterback for this game and maybe another one, and that maybe he didn't do enough to have his teammates back and be a good teammate, if they want to make that argument, I could see that as well.
Yeah, I mean, you start to get to the political side of things is where I kind of stop, because I like to not be political
I'm trying to not
in anything.
Be
But, I mean, it is personal choice. I mean, he has the right to do what he decides to do. And I completely think that Aaron Rodgers feels that he is immunized in this regard. I believe what he felt when he petitioned to the NFL, he feels, I fully believe that he feels that he has, you know, making him safe of COVID, whether that's right or whether that's wrong. I'm not one to judge, but I feel Aaron Rodgers believes Aaron Rodgers is immune to it. Bill Simmons called Aaron Rodgers a classic narcissist over this. Meanwhile, my biggest takeaway from this is we're robbed of a classic matchup between Pat Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers, and instead we have to watch Jordan Love go up against Pat Mahomes. I was looking forward to the game with Rodgers and Mahomes. Now with Jordan Love and Pat Mahomes, not so much.
Yeah, of course I was too, and now it's going to be. I told Lisa we can make plans to do whatever we got to do on Sunday because I'm not sure
got to watch.
I don't have any interest in watching Jordan Love, because here's the thing: I hope the rest of the country finally figures out what I've seen all along, which is Jordan Love is not only not the answer as the successor to Aaron Rodgers. Jordan Love was fooling the world when he became a first round draft pick, and I don't believe in Jordan Love's ability right now, and he may get better as time goes on, but right now I don't believe he is the guy that's prepared to lead this team to do anything against anybody, the Chiefs or the Dolphins or the Texans or anybody else. He just ain't that guy. And that's not, and everything I've seen and everybody I've talked to have told me the same thing. In fact, I believe that quietly they were trying to trade him before the deadline to send one final message to Aaron without actually having to come to him and say it. We screwed up. We didn't handle this the right way, and we probably got the wrong dude. But now we'll see if the whole country figures that out, because this guy, from what you saw in preseason and anytime he is at the helm of the quarterback position of the Green Bay Packers, he has looked like he's been overmatched.
Is he better than Davis Mills?
I don't know that I can say that.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Big C, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees.
What's going on, boys?
What's up, Big C?
What's up, Clarence?
What's going on? Okay, I got massive beef with Aaron Rodgers and him putting people at risk. Because guess what? How many COVID cases did the Saints catch after they played the Packers?
You're saying it from a Saints perspective. I see where you're going.
I'm saying, for week one, they played the Saints. Next thing you know, everybody and their mama got COVID in the Saints locker room. And for the Packers not to say anything, not to just acknowledge that he wasn't vaccinated, that's real shady. And I like how some people are just trying to sweep it under the rug, like, oh, it's Aaron Rodgers, he'll be back. No, that's not fair to his teammates. That's not fair to every other team that they played. That's not fair to the media or anyone he's been around, because he decides he wants to be his old narcissist self and not get the vaccine.
Well, I don't think anybody's sweeping it under the rug. And, I mean, players don't have the vaccine in the NFL. Some do. Now, if you don't, there's certain repercussions that you face if you test positive. There's certain rules and regulations that you have to abide by you don't. And there's some people that think Aaron Rodgers was not abiding by the rules in place for non-vaccinated players. That's why the NFL is looking into this. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, Aaron Rodgers can still play football. Like, he doesn't have to tell the other team that he's not vaccinated in week one when he doesn't have COVID.
So you and I can go back and forth on the whole liar thing and have some fun with it along the way. But in terms of Aaron Rodgers being deceitful in the way he handled his business, it's the proof is in the pudding. If you are not vaccinated, you had to follow a separate set of protocol rules than vaccinated players. Meaning, you know, from team meals and meeting rooms to masks to protocol, like I said, at press conferences to post games and interactions with players, both on the other team and on your own team. And that had to be followed as if you were one of the players that was not vaccinated. If you don't do that and you choose to be like that guy that gets to do and say whatever he wants to, regardless of what we know to be, as you're saying, internally, they knew what his medical status was, regardless of anybody else did. And yet, and you also allowed that behavior to happen. That's on everybody, because whether Clarence is right, I mean, they played in week one, and I don't know when the Saints started to have the outbreak of coaches and players that got it. But you know what? As a Saints fan, he has a legit argument to at least be concerned about that.
It was the next week. I mean, it was the very next week. But Green Bay didn't have any cases then. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. The league is looking into the matter, too, so we'll see if anything comes of it from the NFL. When we return, Zion Williamson eating himself out of the NBA. Is that true? Rockets tonight. Rockets are doing very well, very well, according to one metric. What it is next, it's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, I want to tell you a little bit about Fitz Roofing again, because Fitz Roofing, it says it in their name. They do roofing repairs and new roofs on both businesses and on your home. But they also do so much more. They do home repairs. They do fences in your yard. And you can go to FITZ Roofing and find out all the different services they offer and all the different ways they can help you. The most important way they help you is they do free, no obligation inspections that cost you absolutely nothing to see what they can do. You have a problem, you call Fitz Roofing at 832-521-3001. Rest assured, someone's heading your way and they're going to tell you exactly what the issue is, how they can rectify it, and what they would do in order to fix it. If you want them to do that work, you just make the appointment, and they are going to do fantastic work before, during, and after the sale. Take care of you every step of the way with the best customer service in the business. But it doesn't cost you anything to have them out to see exactly what they would do. That's just another way that they take care of the people of Houston. It's as simple as the best warranties in the business, the best products used in the business, and the best ratings in the business as well. Why would you go to sketchy roofers and shady roofing people that want your money up front and just don't do a great job, don't have those same kind of ratings and warranties, and don't care when you have an issue with it? You go to Fitz Roofing, you get taken care of every step of the way. 832-521-3001 or FitzRoofing.com. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
ESPN 97.5.
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Take the day off work and play a fun round of golf with your favorite sports station at the ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5 Occasional Invitational presented by PsychJab.com, benefiting the Latino Learning Center. This year's tournament will take place Wednesday, December 1st at 10:30 a.m. at Wildcat Golf Club. Each golfer will receive beverages from Michelob Ultra and Cutwater Spirits, lunch from Frankie's Italian Kitchen, dinner from Orleans Seafood Kitchen, 18 holes of golf, and an award ceremony immediately after the tournament. Register now at ESPN975.com. Rockets are in Phoenix tonight to play the racist Phoenix Suns, apparently. Seeing a lot of stuff on my timeline that the Suns ownership, a lot of racism within the organization. I'll have to read up a little bit more on this whenever I have the time. But the Rockets at the Sun tonight. Rockets 4-3 on the year against the spread. Back-to-back covers in L.A. against the Lakers. I'm proud of this Rockets team. They're above 500 against the spread. This is how I'm grading them this season. I'm happy with what the Rockets are doing under head coach Steven Silas.
Okay. You know what? And I said the same thing. I'm not worried about wins and losses this year, right? The same way that Caserio said it for the Texans, the same way we said embrace the suck. I also said that, look, unlike the Texans, the Rockets at least have some guys that they have the ability to be guys you build around, right? And you have a roster of guys that could very well be role players for you and significant rotational players for the next several years. But the growing pains have to happen. And that's why the more you watch this team and the more that you and I have spoken about this, I've said you don't have a home for Eric Gordon here. The best thing you can do is showcase him early. I thought the best thing they possibly could have done was to trade him before the season even started. Now, with a couple games under his belt where he's shown he can still do it, they should be burning up the phone lines to get rid of him. At a certain point, Daniel Tice should not be your starting center anymore. That you should just get Sengun in there as often as possible so that he can soak up as many minutes, take as many lumps, and learn as many things as he can. And then you start the progression from there, because then Garuba's going to need more time. Then Josh Christopher is going to need more time. You're going to need to see all the young kids you can in the next year or two so you can evaluate the guys you want to stick around and the guys you want to move on.
I'd play Alpi right now. He'd be my starter right now.
Absolutely.
I like what I see from him. I don't need to see Tice to really get – like, he's not going to be on this team in 3 years. This team is a little bit away from being a playoff contender. I think Alpi's got a chance to be a solid piece in the NBA, so I'd be giving all those minutes to him, no doubt about it. Spread tonight is 10. So if you're looking for the Rockets to try to improve to 5-3 on the season against the spread, they got to cover the 10 points. Suns favored by 10 today. 4-3 against the spread. Rockets off to a hot start. Meanwhile – Zion Williamson not off to a hot start. He's still 3 weeks away from being 3 weeks away. They were blasting him yesterday on TNT. Listen to what Charles Barkley had to say about Zion.
It looked like me and Shaq had a baby. That's what they going to do, man. Like, I just look like I quit. I got to get.
Hey, come on, man.
What did it look like,
Charles? Like, me and you had a baby. God dang. That's too... They eat good in New Orleans.
He is eating good. Who doesn't eat good in New Orleans, though?
Good point.
Zion Williamson, though. I mean,
pretty big.
He's pretty big. He's got to get it together. Charles Barkley would go on to say how Moses Malone came up to him early in his career and said, look, you got to eat right. He said that he cried about that. Like, he was upset about it. But he also said that it was the reality check that he needed to hear. That's the same thing with Zion here. Zion needs to hear that reality check. But not only does he need to hear it, but it's got to resonate. It's got to be something that leads to change. Because Zion can't play at this weight. He just flat out can't. If he's in shape, good player. Not in shape, bust.
This is the thing, Jeremy, because you don't want to fat shame. And you shouldn't be fat shaming Zion. And the other thing is you don't know. He might have issues. He might have issues that has caused him to be this big that he can't control. He might have true medical concerns that are associated with this. You know, there are players throughout the league's history like Oliver Miller, like Stanley Roberts, guys that just, whether they had it, they had a condition they couldn't escape in terms of with their eating and things like that, to other issues that caused them to never be the player that you always thought they could have been.
I can't tell if you're being serious right now.
I'm just making statements for you because I know that you always come at me with you can't fat shame.
No, you shouldn't fat shame.
Right.
Absolutely.
And you just did. But I think that, look, you can see the video right now of Zion. He's not the player at the size that he was drafted. But I think that where it really needs to be something that the organization of the Pelicans has to be concerned with is they tried to teach this guy how to relearn to walk and run because they were concerned about the wear and tear that it was putting on his knees, his joints, and his legs. Well, the other thing that really does a lot of damage to those issues of the body is when they are carrying excessive weight.
Right.
So that's where they're going to have to really – it's a hard conversation to have because, look, he's already said with the amount of coaches he's been through and the way that he's gone through personnel since he's been with New Orleans that it's starting to drive him away. Everybody was worried he was going to the Knicks when he's a free agent. Well, if you go and sit down and say, Zai, we got to have a conversation about your weight, if he gets pissed off, you don't want to push him away.
No, but you have to have that conversation because, I mean, it's part of being an athlete. It's different whenever you're not an athlete. I mean, their body is something that's very important to their production on the floor. Like those guys that you mentioned that were overweight, they never quite lived up to the player they should have been because they were overweight. And Zion Williamson came into the league as being the first overall pick of an NBA draft. They expected him to be an all-star one day. That's what you expect from number one picks. And the fact that he is overweight is leading to him not even being able on the floor. Like, you can't even talk about his production because he's not even playing. So there is no production. So Zion's going to have to turn it around. I mean, it's just the flat-out truth about the situation. If he can't get on the floor, he's a bust. If he's overweight and not playing to the potential that he should be as the number one overall pick and as a player that entered the league with a lot of fanfare, look, he's going to be a bust. That's the flat-out truth of it.
And we've got sound from Zion on this particular issue. He was asked about it because, you know, it's a big topic of conversation. That's what he said.
Oh, I'm in shape. I'm round.
You know where that you know where this is from? Did you remember that Damon Wayans movie where you play the boxer, Great White Hype?
Yeah.
I remember the scene. I never saw the movie.
You never saw the movie?
No.
Mid-90s was okay.
I don't remember it.
Yeah. I don't remember if I saw the movie either.
You know, you played that soundbite, it sounded like David Culley.
I didn't know that, but...
Play it again.
Okay, I gotta scroll back, but sure.
Well, don't. I hate making you do extra work, Del, but play it again.
All right, I'll play.
But you got to be in some kind of shape. Oh, I'm in shape. I'm round.
It sounds like David Culley to me.
It does sound like a little bit like David Culley. Ben Simmons says he's not ready to play, by the way. Mental health. Told Daryl Morey, not ready to play. Mental health still a concern. So
here's
another number one overall pick that has not lived up to the hype so far.
Was he one overall?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really, I don't remember. I guess I don't recall him going absolute number one, but I knew that coming out because I knew even coming out of college he couldn't shoot. But the thing that's a problem that's problematic here is you don't know, and because you don't. It brings up more questions than answers because the logical thing is you want to believe that he truly is having issues, whether it be depression or mental issues that's preventing him from playing. But the other side of it that's going to come out real quickly is he just doing this so he gets paid but doesn't have to play in a place he doesn't want to play at until they find him a way to get to somewhere he wants to play?
Yeah, it's looking that way.
Right?
That draft, by the way, of Ben Simmons, not very good. Brandon Ingram, probably the best player in that draft. Now with the Pelicans, though. Yep. He's not with the Lakers. Jaylen Brown, pretty good pick at number three. Dragon Bender, Phoenix Suns, number four. Chris Dunn, number five. Buddy Hield, number six. Jamal Murray was still at number seven. Marquise Chris at eight. Thon Maker went 10. Sabonis went 11. That's a pretty good pick. Denzel Valentine, 14. Juan. Hergen Gomez at 15. Yeah, not a great draft in Ben Simmons' year.
That's terrible.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. All right, Nick Caserio talking about Texans culture. David Culley talking about Texans culture. What is culture in the NFL, and does winning matter in regards to the culture? That's next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Well, hello!
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.